Well, we all should know the story by now. It's a great, great story to know. We had a photo, kind of a picture of life through the reading last week. Remember, God gives us these kind of pictures, stories, but they're really a picture of ourselves and life. And they're very helpful for us to be able to learn how we should live as well. It's a wonderful story. It's a great story of redemption. And the part that I didn't share with the children was the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that's kind of, you know, the overall theme of today as we consider stewardship. We've been talking about what it means to be a steward. That means it's a kind of a servant of God. But the stewardship is a title that we are given by God so that we will take our lives seriously and purposefully, right? Take our lives seriously and purposefully as a child of God with a purpose here on earth that we are given. Right? And sometimes we forget that. We may attend church. We may, you know, do different things with the church. We may, you know, have a Bible study with these. But we need to keep in mind that we are all being equipped in every aspect of that to better our worship and to be worshiping God with all of our hearts and our souls and our minds, but also so that we can do His work. And so we have been emphasizing that in this this time of what does it mean to be here today? What does it mean to be here, and what is my role in the kingdom of God? Those are the kind of things we've been talking about. And so we've been given something by God. What do we do with it? We've been given things from God. What do we do with it? And so it's a wonderful thing to be given such a gift by God in many different ways in our lives, right? So I want to start with the story of Zacchaeus, and then I want to talk a little bit about what comes after that. There's a parable. And I hope that the two you'll be able to see and to learn from God's word why these are so close together. So we first, as we just heard, there was a man, and he was known as a sinner, right? And when people at that time were calling people sinners, God is going to address that and teach those people that it's not just Zacchaeus who's a sinner, it's all of you, right? And so that is one of the messages that comes through here. But all of us are saved by the cross, by Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. And he intends for all people to know the gospel. Anyway, we have this. This is really actually close to the time when Jesus enters into Jerusalem in preparation for his death. Okay. So he's coming in, and people are surrounding him. And Zacchaeus, this tax collector, the chief tax collector, very rich man, was wanting to see him and couldn't. So he climbed up in the tree, and then Jesus comes to the tree and looks up and calls him by name and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to come to your house today, right? I must stay at your house today. He said, hurry down. And so he hurried down and he came and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they grumbled. And so we have that picture there of this man who is having a one-on-one with this famous person that everybody wanted to see even a glimpse of. And he has this intimate time in his home. And then there's a change, a drastic change in this person. And so that's a big part of our learning here as stewards, to see that there is hope that people get saved, right? The lost, right? I came to seek and to save the lost. Do you know someone who's lost? Do you know someone who's lost in your life? I think we all do, right? Somebody who's lost their way. A lot of times they don't get talked about very much. We don't want to talk about that one. You know, that's the black sheep of the family, the person who is, you know, we don't want to bring that up because they're so lost, you know, in different ways. And Jesus comes with this story today to tell us that's not the way I think of it, right? It's the opposite. Actually, those people are the ones that I want to come to and sup with and tell them that they matter. And a lot of times lost people don't know how to get out of it, right? They're lost, and they're so used to people mistreating them, being an outcast, having things not going their way. You know, they see other people successful. You know, they don't go to a class reunion because they haven't experienced the same kind of life that others do. I had a buddy in school, a really close friend of mine growing up, hilarious person. He got in a lot of trouble, but we used to laugh and laugh because he was so funny. But you know, in the end of it, he contacted me, and out of nowhere on Facebook, because I posted something, and he said something like, "I'm a bum." You know, I was just like this bum who had this kind of a tough guy, opinion of himself, and he tried to be like that. But I knew him before he became like that. He was funny, you know, he was the class clown. But later on he got in with the crowd and he started to become a tough guy. And I knew there was a different, person inside of him. So when I saw him, I was kind of confused when I saw the tough guy, you know. But there he was. And so we don't know what people are thinking, right? Just because we see something going on in their lives that is, it looks like, oh, they're lost. Actually, they're being looked at by Jesus, right? Jesus is looking at them, right? He came to seek him, actually. So the mass people, you know, all the people around them, they mattered to Jesus, but he was looking for the one that was lost. Right? And to find him, and he found him, and he called him by name. He knows everything, right? So we need to have that kind of an attitude when we're stewards of Christ, too. We look at our Lord, and we look at what he teaches, and then we learn from it. And then we apply it to our lives, just like you do in school and in your work in different ways. You apply what you're learning and you use that, right, to be fruitful, to be able to do something for your company, for your school, for your life, for the society. But we're in the kingdom of God, and so we do that for the kingdom of God, right? That should be our everyday attitude, right? We want to serve the king. We want to be stewards of the king. The king is the greatest. He's this great God, you know who he is. You know, that kind of an attitude, instead of slinking away or trying not to get involved. We come with the greatness of God and say, this is a man who turned around a person like Zacchaeus. Let me read you this story. You think you're a bum? Look at him. He was feeling like, nobody likes me. They all hate me. I'm just going to get rich and I'll show them. And God showed them a much better way. And he changed his heart. Right? And that's another part of our lives too. When God comes into our life, we have to exhibit change, right? We can't just stay the way we were, right? Can't just keep on doing things that you used to do with, you know, that were falling into sin and that were setting a bad example, or the things that got away from God. We want to change that, you know? So hopefully we're all in that kind of a place in our lives so that we can say, yes, I am aware of this, and I want to show through my life and the way that I act and the things that I speak about that God is my king. Right? So that's what this whole story just leads up to. It's about saving people. We now are stewards who go to seek and to save the lost in the name of Jesus. So we can pray about that. How are you talking to me, God? How am I, you know, going to apply this to my life? Give me courage. You know, maybe we're lacking courage. Maybe we're not convinced of the power of God to be able to help someone who's down and out. You know, I'm talking to myself here. You know, we all have people like that. But we have to overcome that. And God gives us another day so that we can apply these things and have that opportunity to do it and act upon it. So our time is one of the things that we're stewards of, right? We are given time. We've been learning that. A blessed thought from God's word that we are to use the time wisely. Unto the Lord. Right? The time that we're given is by God. He gives us this time in order that we can help others to know him. And the gospel is the focus today. We are stewards of the gospel. And the gospel today is intended by God to make a new start in our hearts so that we are given a fresh look at it. You know, there's many times people say, I need a fresh start. Right? You want a fresh start with the gospel. If the gospel has lost its power to your mind, if your life is not exhibiting the almighty power of God that is at work in this world that seeks the lost so that they would be saved, right? then we need to pray for God to renew us and to make afresh this idea and this concept of what the gospel is, and pray for God to use us in that new revelation, in that newness of life. God makes all things new, not just once, every day, every minute of the day. You never know what's going to happen. So that is the framework for this, that Jesus went and he showed us how it's done. No? It's not just a story to say that's a really great story about someone being saved. No, that's a great story that tells me how I should do it. Seek the lost. Come into their lives. Don't give up on them. Right? And don't, and be, we need to guard our hearts so that we don't lose that knowledge of the truth that the gospel sets people free. I think all of you probably could say amen to the fact that most people are not going to just receive Christ when you come to them and say something. They're going to ponder it. They also need to have a little bit of follow-up, right?
Yes.
Maybe a second time, a third time, a fourth time. Like to get to show the change in your heart, right? Right? That you're invested in their life. Right? That's what's going to make a difference in people's lives, right? They need to see, oh, this person isn't just giving me the time of day. They want me to know them and what's important to them. Right? So that's kind of leading into what we're going to talk about next. The parable of the 10 minas follows this, right? So after this, they heard these things Jesus was teaching, right, these people there. And he was teaching them further in a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. Okay, so he's talking to them because they think that he is bringing the kingdom of God right then at that time, and he's going to stay alive, and he's going to reign, and they're going to be, you know, that's why they're following him, because they feel like he's the man, he's the Messiah, he's going to bring us power over the Romans, and we're going to take back, you know, what is rightfully ours. But Jesus was going to the cross. And so he taught them this parable to set them straight and to teach them, it wasn't for me to come here, okay, this is not what it's about. It's for me to come here and die for sins of people like Zacchaeus and you, right? And if I didn't do that, then I wouldn't be fulfilling my role here, and I wouldn't be really fulfilling what I told and shared with Zacchaeus, right? And so he teaches them this parable, and it's very similar to one that we heard earlier in this series about being given talents, and what are you going to do with them, right? And so we're visiting this again. And he tells this parable, they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately, and he said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to reign over us. And when he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. And so this sets up the whole scenario of Jesus dying on the cross, risen from the grave, ascending into the heaven, and then coming back in power to put his kingdom forever in place. Okay, so this is like a parable telling a story about these people. But he gave each one of these servants before he left, like Jesus ascended into heaven, right? And he's coming again. And so he's setting up that whole scenario. And that's really what our theme this year is all about. Keep your lamps burning until Jesus returns. Right? So they're all given this to do. Right? So the first came before him and said, Lord, your mina has given 10 minas more. Right? And he said, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And then the second time saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. And then another came saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you are a severe man and you take what you did not deposit and reap what you didn't sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, talking about what I did not deposit, and at my coming I might have collected, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, give it to the one who has 10. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10. And he said, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. So this is talking about the end times, right? The end times and the judgment of Jesus, right? So we're all going to be accountable for our lives. So a steward of God needs to understand that you're going to be held accountable. Okay, you're not just given like this is your name now, you're a steward, you're a servant of mine, and you're saved from your sins, and you can go to church now, and you can, you know, attend church and worship me, and you can be involved in different kind of things like that. But that's it. That's all we have. We are to understand that we have work to do. Right? We've been given this possession as stewards so that we can multiply it. And that's what God is talking about with the gospel, that we are stewards of the gospel. And the gospel is the greatest power in this world, right? We hear falsities all around saying how, kingdoms here feel that they have more power than others, and they possess nuclear power. We talk about the AI power and all this stuff, and everybody is very afraid of it. And we say, oh, wow, we were having a conversation that last night about this. It's so, so powerful, and all these things are going to happen. But the most powerful thing in the world is not nuclear power or AI. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's our answer. Yep. Right? And that's not the first time that people are going to say these kind of things to us. Before AI and before all the other things, we were talking about this also last night. Before all those things, it was something else. Because people want to have power. Right? They want to show that they have the power. But Jesus has the power, the real power that counts into eternity, right? The saving power, something that brings about great things, right? And that's what we've been entrusted with in our lives, right? And so Jesus, by doing this, it's very interesting. I came across a version of this in the King James. And instead of saying, engage in business, that's what Jesus said, engage in business, until I come, the King James says, occupy until I come. That struck my heart. The Holy Spirit really moved me through the message of the King James version of that word, and also the things that I read that were used in the King James to help us understand it. We are not merely to be in this life. We are to occupy it. In the power of the Holy Spirit, occupy it. It's like you're saying, I'm not just merely going to show up for church. I'm going to occupy my stewardship in that church. I'm going to, I'm going to be someone who's engaged. I'm going to come there with great expectation. I'm going to come there and I feel like I'm coming in the power of Jesus to go there, and something great is going to happen with the gospel that day. Right? It's not merely to do that, right? So it's a wake up call from God in seeing it that way. The people of God went into the promised land to occupy it because there were evil people there, right? They were worshiping false gods, and God is a holy God. And he said, no, that isn't the way it is. My people will be there. And so there's that attitude. You feel me? It's like that kind of a sense that it's just like stewardship that the Holy Spirit wanted us to look at. It gives us a different measure of involvement than before. It gives you a title. It gives you a role, right? So that everybody, just like we were talking to the children about Zacchaeus, he has a role. And it's not to be spent in cheating people and getting money to save up, and that's not going to do you any good in the end of your life. But to come into a situation and to offer people and show them that there is more to life, much more abundant life, and Jesus offers it. It's cool. Very cool. Very great the way God works in our lives and starts to stir us up Keep your lamps burning. Don't give up. Keep them burning. Right? If you give Satan an inch, and that's what we do, right? As sinners in the world, we give him the space and we feel like, oh, he's too big. Oh, it's too much. Oh, that person's still lost. Oh, this and that. You know, it's not that way. That is a lie of Satan, right? That he is a liar and a deceiver, right? And so we want to have that kind of an attitude. I'm so thankful for that word being used there. You know, there's nothing wrong. There's other things that we could also see with the business of this, you know, but we are engaged in a kind of a business if we see it like it's translated here, but it means to engage in the work of God, right? Not business like you're going to make money off. It's to engage in, right? To do work in that kind of a way. And if there's also a falsehood that Satan tries to get us to believe, and that we only have it temporarily. There's only one space or a phase of our lives that we do the work, and then we don't. It's not there. There was a great couple that came to Germany. We met in a small German church, and there was a military church there too that actually started the whole church and had converted the Germans during the war, World War II. And this couple came there. We called them Nana and Pawpaw. And Julia looked at them like they were, you know, grandparents overseas. They were pastoring the military church. And we became very, very close. But they both worked tirelessly. And you know, there were times I was like close to them because we actually lived in the same building. And Lee Chan too, and they knew Julia and everything. But one time Royce, this is his real name, Royce, offered to do a study in the book of Romans. I was the only one to show up. And he actually asked me a question from that hour. It was so unfair during this worship service. And he was like, John, what was the answer to that? And I was like, oh man. I didn't know. But anyway, he was very, very filled with grace. But you know, I saw how hard it is to be in that kind of a situation and have people not respond to Romans, one of the greatest Holy Spirit-filled books in the Bible, and to have no one show up, and to see the, you know, he just never stopped though. It didn't stop him. He continued to go on. He continued to do what God had told him to do, because he didn't say, just do it until people come. He said, do it until people, you know, I want to be brought to Christ, or brought to Christ, or whatever purpose I have, I want you to do it. But I saw that man, and then they left that place, and they went home for a short time to be with their families, and then they went out for a second round of missionary work in Africa, and it brought their lives to an end. They got malaria, and they died. But they wanted to be working, occupying Africa, where God sent them to occupy, so that people there who were lost would be found and saved. That's what it means to be a steward of God. So that's what God is calling us to in these verses here. It's also interesting that they are rewarded with more cities. God didn't say, well done, take a rest. They got more. They got more. So we need to understand, when we do this work, it isn't in the direction so that we can rest. It's so that we can continue and do more. And that's the way God looks at us, his people. Why? Because it's his strength that we do it by. And it's his time that he has given to us to work for him. And we need to show people that we're not people that do it for a time and then stop, and then that's it. But it has made a lifelong change in our lives that we are going to show people how we live. Because there's a lot more people after the time we may have finished something that need to be saved, that need to be sought, and it could be anywhere. But the mindset is what's important, right? We were talking about this also last night. How singing, you know, is 80, 85, maybe more percent mental. The other part is physical. But we have to keep our minds involved and understand, right, the power of what God has given to us. It's not physical. It's God himself at work in our lives that is doing these things and bringing this message of hope to people. So when a couple of things that were made by someone that I felt that were good to emphasize this word occupy. When Christ says occupy till I come, he means there is work to be done. Amen. Occupying means we are taking our space, taking over space that the devil holds. We are occupying the territory out. And I'm here as God's representative, as his steward in this situation, in whatever situation you're in, to say, out, devil. This is not yours. These people are not yours. These children are not yours. These families are not yours. They are God's people. Get out. And that's what we have to do in our daily lives too, when we live. Get away from me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. I'm running away from you because you can give me absolutely nothing. The gospel alone can change people's hearts, like Zacchaeus. Only God can change people's hearts. But that doesn't mean this. God's going to take care of them. They're good. It means I know them. I'm a steward of God. I'm a steward of the gospel. I am to do his work. I am to show them that God is near and that he doesn't give up. I'm going to continue to talk to them. I'm going to be that person that goes into that person's life and says to Satan, get away from them. They belong to God. Hudson Taylor said, God is always advancing. God is always advancing. Take that to heart today. Great words from a great missionary. Right? God is always advancing. He's not losing. This is the kind of thing that starts to make me get very impatient, okay? Because the Spirit of God does not stand for that kind of stuff, okay? God doesn't hear prayer. You better watch it. You better watch it if you say something like that. And I mean that in a very loving way. But God is a God of wrath. And he does not stand for his name to be spoken against and misused in that kind of a way. Why do you think he has that commandment in the Ten Commandments, right? His name. Stand up for it. You don't get what you want? Look at your own self. Don't point at him and say, what are you doing? Point at yourself and say, what am I doing? Lord, don't just say it to yourself, say it to him. Lord, what am I doing? What should I do differently? Right, the three things we learned this week in one of the lectionary verses is of Jesus, right? When he says, ask and it'll be given to you. Does it stop there? What does it say? Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open to you. You only ask and then say, I've been asking. Well, have you sought? Do you seek? Right? A steward of God, a steward of the gospel, seeks. And then knocks. And the promise is what? I will answer. So the problem is not what God has said, the instructions. The problem is, are we doing it? The problem is not that God takes so long. The problem is that we don't try hard enough and long enough. We have to continue on to acquire these traits of God that don't ever give up, don't ever stop, don't, you know, until God calls you away. And he can do that. He can call you away to somewhere else, but he's definitely going to call you away from somewhere and lead you somewhere else. Look at Philip. He came, he sought the lost, the man, the Ethiopian, was on his chariot, and he was riding along, and God sent him there to that man to explain the Bible to him. A miracle. And then he was done, and he went somewhere else. Right. Mission accomplished. What's next? The steward of God says, what next, Lord? What next? Who else? Who else needs to be sought? Who else needs to be saved? How many people in this world need to be saved? Countless. It's like a never-ending bounty of souls that need to be saved from the devil. Yeah. And given new hope that there's a God who loves them and he's going to bring them into eternity. Right? You could be that person. When we were singing Amazing Grace today, I was thinking, who is God going to put in your life, or has he now put in your life, and he's called you as a steward of the gospel to go to and share the good news so that they will sing Amazing Grace. Not just that we as Christians sing it, it's not meant for Christians always to sing, right? It's be shared so that many people sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. In all languages of the world, in every color and culture and everywhere, and every nation, they are to know those words of Amazing Grace and to experience the love of God in their lives so that they're saved from death. Right? So brothers and sisters, let's make it our business every week to seek to win someone to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's make it our business as Christians, as members of Grace Church, as people who have been saved, who are stewards of the gospel, make it our business, make it our occupation, make it our work, make it our occupying goal to occupy that space where a person is feeling like you're unapproachable. Don't go there. Don't stop. Advance. We're not talking about it in a mean way, right? We're talking about with love. Advance and believe in the power of the gospel, the power of God's word to change a life and to say, I'm going to come into your life like that. And they would say, no, I don't want it. Kids do that all the time. Their parents come to them and they say, I see this going on. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to listen to your opinion and things like that. And that's exactly the way we are with God. He comes to your life and you're saying, no, I don't want to do that. I have all these different reasons I'm telling you. And God is like saying, I want you to do it. I've called you to do it. It's yours. Nobody else. So Peter said, who else are we going to go to? Why would we? There isn't anyone else, right? So let's get excited. Let's get excited about the time that we have. Let's look at our lives as a gift from God, which it is. You know, and to say that we have been given work to do here. There are many people that are being lost in the world. There's lost souls, and they're crying out. They want to hear about Jesus. They need someone. They're crying out to God, and they're saying, Lord, save me. And then he sends people to them.
Yep. Amen. Sure does.
Yep. He does. He sends you and me to them here, right, in town, in our church, you know. And he uses us. And so that's really the stewardship thing that God wanted to teach us this summer. It's an assignment. A great assignment, you know? You want to delve into it. Eat up all the word of God you can. Any moment that you get it, you know, just grab it and try. And then sometimes, I can tell you from my own experience, you're kind of like, oh, I feel tired. Yes, you're tired, but you can renew your strength in the Lord. You know, and then you can say, I'm going back in for another round. Are you at that place where you feel like I'm tired, I've done things, and I'm not, I, you know, I'm in a place where I feel like, you know, maybe, I don't know what I'm going to do, but anyway, take up something that God gives to you. Mm-hmm. Accept the assignment. Accept that,
yes,
that word from the man who translated that word for us, to occupy. Don't just live life like, you know, halfway. Put yourself all into it. You know? And God will help you along the way. And the greatest thing that is our reward is that people are saved.
Amen.
Right? They're saved, and you see it happen. Kenny Chow baptized this young man from China who was at NYU yesterday, and he had this big, bright smile on his face, and he said, "I'm going back to China," and they said, "Bring the gospel to your home." Huh?
Today
he's going back. He was baptized the day before he goes back to his home country, and he's a steward of God, a steward of the gospel, bringing the good news to lost people in China, his homeland. That's what we do. Amen? So let's get excited and pray, and then go in for another round.